Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The Gemara's first question will be, what is Va'od? What is that adding to? What did he state before that this is Va'od? But nevertheless, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is Hagina Va'karpaf. These are areas that are enclosed. A karpaf is an area outside the city that's enclosed, as Rashi says earlier in the Masechta, for storage of wood or other items. Or a gina is somewhere where it's planted with irakot or has other vegetation that's growing in it. Both of those, if they are Shivim Ama Vishiraim, Al Shivim Ama Vishiraim, if they are 70 Ama plus a little more, by 70 Ama by plus a little more, Amukafod Gader, that they have a fence around them, Gvoa Sarat Fachim, that's 10 Fachim high, Mitaltalim Bitocha, then you're allowed to carry inside of that area, Obilvad, with the one condition, Sheba Shomeira, if there is a guardhouse or some sort of hut in there, Obeit Dira, or some sort of living space, Osheitei Smucha La'ir, or it is close to the city. Over here Rashi says that it is close to the city, and therefore people will access it on a regular basis. Dato lishtamish batadir. Person has in mind to use it on a regular basis. Ukum mukaf ledira dami. It's equivalent of being mukaf ledira. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava over here has a number of qualifications. The first of which is that in order for something to be qualified to be able to carry in it, it has to be mukaf ledira. It has to be something that's surrounded by a fence that has a livable space inside of it. And that's why it requires a shomera, beitira, or a smucha la'ir. Number two is the maximum amount of space that can be enclosed when it is hukaf la'dira is 70 and a little more, by 70 a little more, 72-thirds ama, by 72-thirds ama, which we learned from the Chatzera Mishkan. We've discussed this a number of times. We'll get to it later in today's daf, that the Chatzera Mishkan is 50 by 100, which is 5,000 square amot, and the square root of 5,000 square amot is 70 and two-thirds roughly, and that's what he's describing over here, that they squared out that area, that it's a Beit Sa'atayim, which is the area of the Chatzera Mishkan. And that's the maximum area that you can surround and have it be okay to carry in that area. And as the Bali HaTosafot point out over here, that above Beit Sataim, the Beit Dira is not going to help you at all. Below Beit Sataim, you still need a Beit Dira in order to make it that you can carry. So the threshold is a Beit Sataim. At that point and below that point, you need a Beit Dira in order to make it that place that you can carry in. Above that level, then even if you have a Beit Dira there, it would not be helpful. That is the view of Rashi, who says over here, Va'afagab duhukaf ledira. Even if it is encircled the Beit Dira, if it is more than a Beit Sataim, it does not work at all. The Bali HaTosafot over here disagree with that position of Rashi. And he says, "Afilu kafti dira lo shari." Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava biyetu mebeit sadaim ein nira. I don't think that Rashi is right about that, and many of the other Rishonim agree with the Bali Tosafot that Rashi's position here with regards to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is incorrect. And he says, "Dafka bishomerahu dekamar delo bahani biyetu mebeit sadaim." Tosafot says that it's unique because of the shomera, which is a subpart form of dira. So a subform form of dira is capped out at Beit Sa'atayim. But once you get a real dira there, then you can go even above Beit Sa'atayim. And that's what Tosafot says. If you're mukaf l'dira, proper dira, then in that situation you can even go above Beit Sa'atayim, whereas Rashi limits it to Beit Sa'atayim. Tosafot then speculates within Rashi and suggests that maybe there's a differentiation they can make between a karpaf and other areas that are mukaf l'dira. A karpaf is, again, a subpar type of surrounded area because it's outside the city. It's something that's not used on a frequent basis. And therefore, even if you're mukaf ledira, according to Rashi, that can't be more than Beit Sa'atayim. On the other hand, the other items that were mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Perek, things like the deer, the sohar, the muksa, and the chatzer, there, since they have active usage all the time, similar to something that's smucha la'ir, but they have active usage plus their mukaf ledira, maybe even Rashi would agree that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava thinks that if you are mukaf ledira in that situation, you can go above Beit Sa'atayim. The third thing that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava seems to be indicating to us is that the area has to be a square area. He's given the definition of the area that can be Beit Sataim has to be an area that's 70 and two-thirds by 70 and two-thirds. So those seem to be the three things that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is teaching us. Number one is that you need to be hukaf ledira in order for it to be able to be carried in these areas, the karpaf and the gina. Number two is, even if it's hukaf ledira, you can't go above Beit Sataim. According to Rashi, it means period. According to the Bali HaTosafot, it means with a shomera, with a substandard type of dira, you can't go up above Beit Sataim. And the third thing is that it has to be a square area of 70 and two-thirds by 72-thirds at maximum, and you can't have it be rectangular in nature. There is some question as to whether when it's below the Beit Satayim, does it still have to maintain that square? Or can it be rectangular in that case? And this need for it to be squared out is only when you're speaking about Beit Sa'atayim, when you've reached that maximum threshold. Tosafot over here just points out that we learned Beit Sa'atayim from the Chatzer Mishkan. He says, why don't we learn it from the Beit HaMikdash? There was the Ezrat Nashim, which is 135 by 135 amot. And you have the Ezrat Yisrael, which is also 187 amot long. Why don't we use those as paradigms for a chatzer? So Tosafot gives two answers, one of which is that everything with regards to Shabbat is learned from the Mishkan. And that is the paradigm for Shabbat, and therefore the Mishkan, or the Chatzer Mishkan, is what defines the area that is considered to be the maximum threshold, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. For others, the threshold of Dira and Ein Dira, which is this 5,000 square amot. Inami, the other possibility is that the Arizarot are not a good way to learn things because they are hukaf l'dira. They have people who live in there. There are guards who live in there. There's the Kohen Gadol who lives in there before Yom HaKippurim. Since they're hukaf l'dira, they can't define for us areas that are not mukaf l'dira or have substandard dirot in them. And therefore the paradigm that they go to is the Chatzer Mishkan, where there was nobody living inside of the Mishkan. So that is the view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Along comes Rabbi Yehuda, who is Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli, the Stam Rabbi Yehuda in Shas, and says, "Afilu im ba el bor v'shiach u'me'ara mitaltalim betocha." So Rabbi Yehuda argues on Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, at least with regards to this point, which is that it does not require something as high level as a shomerah beit dira or a smucha le'ir in order to be classified as mukaf le'dira. But even something of a lesser standing would still consider it or classify it as mukaf l'dira. And he says over here, that could be a bor, it could be a cistern, it could be a shiach, which is some sort of either dugout part of the ground, which is then bricked up, or some sort of building above the ground, umeara, or a cave. All of these are used by people in terms of their necessities of living, but they're not necessarily as strikingly a beit dira as that which Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says. Nevertheless, mitaltalim betocha, you can still carry in it. So it seems to be, at least, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that you require hukaf l'dira in order for you to be able to carry there. He also seems to agree with the fact that you're maxed out at a Beit Sa'atayim with these types of items. And it's not clear here whether he agrees with him in regards to this squared out area. Rabbi Kibo Omer, now we have a third opinion in the Mishnah. Afilu ein ba achat mikol elu mitaltalim betocha. Even if you have none of these items inside of the Sadeh, you're allowed to carry around it, meaning that Rabbi Akiva argues on this point, both with Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, which is that you can have areas that are not mukaf l'dira, that are mutar to carry around with them if they are fenced off, as long as they don't exceed Beit Sa'atayim. So what the two previous Tanaim suggested, that you need a hukaf l'dira in order to carry around up to a Beit Sa'atayim, Rabbi Akiva says that's just not true. You could be mukaf she'enu l'dira. Even if it doesn't have any dira inside, if there's nothing inside of it, you could still carry around as long as it doesn't go above Beit Sa'atayim. Ubilvad sheba shivim ama b'shirayim al shivim ama b'shirayim. As long as it is squared out. So again, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Akiva agrees, it seems that you have to have a square area, at least with regards to a karpaf, with regards to an area that is not mukaf l'dira, which he permits to be carried in as long as it does not exceed a Beit Sa'atayim. The second thing that Rabbi Kiva seems to indicate, which is not as clear from the Mishnah, but is his position that once you exceed a Beit Sa'atayim, if it's hukaf l'dira, then it is good to carry around even above a Beit Sa'atayim. There's no cap. According to Rashi, there's a cap of Beit Sa'atayim for hukaf l'dira. According to Rabbi Akiva, there is no such cap of Beit Sa'atayim. After it is above that level of Beit Sa'atayim, it seems to be where Rashi thinks that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava does not allow it when it's hukaf l'dira. The Rabbi Akiva does allow it when it is hukaf l'dira. According to the Baalei Tosafot, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava agrees to that concept, at least when it is a proper dira above Beit Sa'atayim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, imaitar arka yoter rachba, if its length was greater than its width, afilu ama achat, even a single ama, ein mitaltalim betocha, then you can't carry inside of it. Rashi over here says this is an area that's lo hukaf l'dira. It's describing the same thing that Rabbi Akiva was describing, which is an area that is a Beit Sa'atayim, and it's hukaf shelo l'dira, so it should be mutar to carry around in it. But he caps it out and says that the length cannot be any greater than the width, which in essence seems to be saying the same thing as what Rabbi Akiva is saying over here. The Gemara will bring a braita that indicates that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that you can't have the length be twice as big as the width, meaning that it can match the dimensions or the ratios that were in the Chatzer HaMishkan, which is that it was 100 amot long and 50 amot wide, which means that the length was twice as much as the width. And that's what he's saying over here. The Gemara will amend his position to say that. And that's how he will be differentiated from Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Eliezer will agree with Rabbi Akiva that it could be hukaf shelo didira up to a Beit Satayim. But he says the Beit Satayim doesn't have to be squared out. It could even be rectangular in shape, as long as it doesn't exceed the dimensions that the length is twice as big as the width. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilu orka pi shnayim birochba mitaltalim bitocha. Rabbi Yossi says that even when the length is two times the width, you can carry in it. Now that seems to be exactly like what Rabbi Eliezer is saying based on the amended version in the Gemara, and therefore the Gemara will have to ask, what's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi? And as Tosafot points out in the Gemara, had they not made that change, then they would have to ask, what's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? But the Gemara, because of the Braita, is forced in the other direction to then amend Rabbi Eliezer's position, and then he becomes identical with Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara will deal with that. Amar Rabbi Eli, so Rabbi Eli, who is a Talmid Mufak of Rabbi Eliezer, says, Shamati mi Rabbi Eliezer, I heard from my Rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer, v'afilu hi kebeit kur, if it's hukaf shelo didira, you can even go all the way up to a Beit Kor. It's capped out at a Beit Kor, but you go even as far as a Beit Kor. So he's differentiated both from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bobo, who says when it's hukaf shelo didira, you can't carry at all. And he's differentiated from Rabbi Akiva, who says when it's hukaf shelo didira, you're maxed out at a Beit Satayim, like all the other Tanayim believe over here. But he is much more the kula and says that when it's shelo hukaf the dira, number one, you can carry in it. And number two is it can even go up to the size of a Beit Kor. V'chein shamati mimenu. And then he says, I heard two other things from Rabbi Eliezer. Anshei chatzer, sheshachach echad mehem, v'lo irev. If you have people who are houses around a chatzer, and they require an iruv chatzerot midrabanan, otherwise they will not be able to carry from their houses into the chatzer, because the chatzer is an area of shared property, and therefore it resembles a reshut rabim. Rabim wouldn't allow you to carry into there until you create a iruv chatzerot, which basically joins all of your ownership into a single entity, and makes it like a more reshut yachid than reshut rabim. In this instance, all the inhabitants of the chatzer made an Eruv together, but one of them did not join in with that Eruv Chatzerot. He's not a part of the Eruv Chatzerot. He's going to ruin it for everybody else. His ownership in the Chatzer makes it that there are two owners to the Chatzer. Him and everybody else who's joined together. When you have two owners, you can't carry in a Chatzer. So there is a mechanism, which we'll see later on in the Masechta, which is being invoked here, which is that he be mevatel his reshut, that he will forfeit his ownership in his property in favor of the Chatzer, or the owners of the Chatzer, which now is this single Eruv. And by doing such, he takes out his ownership in the Chatzer and joins it with the remainder of the people that are there. Then the Chatzer would be bintar to be used. But that will only be true with Loye Beito Asur Melachnis Lotzi Lo. For him, it would be impermissible for him to carry from his house into the Chatzer, or from the Chatzer back into his house. Aval Lahem, but for all the other participants in the Chatzer, it is mutar to carry from the Chatzer into his house, or from his house into the Chatzer. Or in essence, what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, according to Rabbi Eli, is that when the person is mevatel his ownership in the Chatzer, he's also mevatel his ownership in the house. And since he's mevatel his ownership in the house, then the other members of the Chatzer now have a singular ownership, not only of the Chatzer, but his house as well is now joined in that singular ownership. And therefore they can carry from their houses into the Chatzer, or from the Chatzer into his house, or from there the Chatzer into their houses, meaning that they have free reign of moving from any one of those options. The only person who is restricted here is the person who owns that house, and that's because if he re-exerts ownership over his house and starts carrying things from his house into the Chatzer, or the Chatzer into his house, then he would be reneging on his annulment of his ownership, and that would then ruin the Eruv Chatzerot. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer believes. All the other Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and say, just like it is asur for this individual to carry from his house into the Chatzer, or from the Chatzer into his house, so too for all the other parties in the Chatzer, it is also asur for them to carry from the Chatzer into his house, or from his house into the Chatzer. And that is because they believe that when he annuls his ownership or forfeits his ownership in favor of the joint ownership of the Chatzer, that's only his ownership in the Chatzer that he forfeits. He does not forfeit his ownership in his house. He maintains his ownership over his house. So his ownership in the house remains intact, and therefore that stays as a differentiated ownership from the Erev Chatzerot. His part ownership in the Chatzer, that he forfeited in favor of the Erev Chatzerot. That's why everybody besides him, is mutar to carry from their houses into the chatzer and vice versa. But nobody, not him and not anybody else, can carry from the chatzer into his house or his house into the chatzer, because those are two different ownerships. There's the joint ownership of the chatzer that everyone's joined together, and then there's his personal ownership of his own house, and that this allows them from moving back and forth, and that's the view of all the other Tanaim. But Rabbi Eliezer believed that there was a distinction between him, who could not carry from his house into the chatzer and vice versa, versus everyone else who could do it. And that's because Rabbi Eliezer believed that not only did he forfeit his ownership in the chatzer in favor of the Erev Chatzirot, he also forfeit his ownership in his own house in favor of the Erev Chatzirot. V'chein zermati, dimimenu, and the third thing he heard over from Rabbi Eliezer, shiotzin be'arkablin be'pesach, that's one version of it. You look here on the, in Mishpat on the side, he brings from the Mishnayot that it was either akravanin or akrabalin, and the Rambam and others interpret that it is a vegetable whose leaves look like that of a scorpion, and that's why it garnered the name of akrav. And it is a bitter herb that is possibly good to be used for maror. And he says, I heard from Rabbi Eliezer that this type of bitter herb, you can yotze be maror with this type of bitter herb. V'chazarti al kol tamidav, he says that he went around looking for all the other students of Rabbi Eliezer, u'bekashti li chaver, and I went to find someone else who could corroborate my misora from my Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, v'lo matzati, and I didn't find it. He was a little bit circumspect about his misora, because even though he was a Talmid Mufak, and this is what he remembered, he still would have liked to have someone else corroborate this. So he does quote what he heard, these three items from Rabbi Eliezer, but nevertheless, he admits that nobody else has that same misora, remembers that same misora, and therefore it's a little bit more questionable in terms of its efficacy. Other places in Shas, they do find a partner for him with regards to one of these memrot, but nevertheless, they're brought together here because they all have that same standing, which is that he was the only person that has that misora from Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara asks the question that we already noted in the Mishnah, which is, Maik Tana Diktani Va'od. What was the Tana speaking about beforehand that it says Va'od? Va'od usually means that I've been speaking about something topically, and then Va'od means I have another item to speak about on the same topic. Well, we know that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava appeared in the previous Mishnah, but there he was speaking about Pasei Bireot, and what type of water sources are permissible to be used when you are invoking the dispensation of Pasei Bireot. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's position was that it only applies to a Be'er Rabim, to a well that belongs to the public. But other than that, you can't use Pasei Bireot. And then all of a sudden over here, we're speaking about Karpaf, Hukaf the Dira, Gina, they have nothing to do with the previous topic, so why would you begin a Mishnah Va'od? The Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava also said this. Yes, it's the same Tana that's saying it, but topically they have nothing to do with each other. Ilema, Mishum de Tani Lei Chada Lechumra, Tani Achrita, so maybe you want to suggest that the common denominator between them, why he used the word Od, is because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava in the previous Mishnah is the Machmir. He is the most stringent position, which is that only by a Be'er Rabbi do Pasei Bireot work. And similarly in our Mishnah, he has the most stringent opinion as to what is required in order to have up to a Beit Satayim and a Karpaf and a Gina be able to be carried in, that you require it Hukaf Dira with a Shomera or a Beit Dira or Ksmucha Le'ir. Plus, he requires that it be squared out. Plus, he says that above Beit the Satayim, that it doesn't help at all, according to Rashi, or according to Tosfos, it doesn't help with the Shomera. So he has the most stringent opinion. So maybe that's what the Od is, and Mishum Hachik Tani Va'od. That's why he wrote Va'od, because he's the most Machmir in the previous Mishnah. He's also the most Machmir in this Mishnah. Vaha Rabbi Yehuda, D'tani Le'echada L'chumra, V'tani Achrite, V'lo Tani Va'od. Wait a minute. We have Rabbi Yehuda, who appears previously in this Perek. He appeared in the first Mishnah of the Perek, where Rabbi Yehuda says that Pasei Biraot are capped out at a Beit Satayim. Then we also had Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah on yesterday's daf on Chafet Amun Aleph, where he said that if there is a Derech Rishut Rabim that goes through the Pasei Biraot, it undermines the Rishut Yachid or the Mechitzot that are there. So now, in both those cases, Rabbi Yehuda is the Chumrah. Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of the Pasei Biraot, that the Derech Rabim ruins it, the Chachamim disagree and say that the Mechitzot are stronger, and the Derech Rabim does not affect it. In the first Mishnah on the Perek, he's also the Chumrah, because over there he says that you're capped out at a Beit Satayim for a Pasei Biraot, and the Chachamim say you can go even up to a Beit Kor, even up to, you can go as big as you want, because it's a Makom HaKul Kaf L'Dira, and therefore, you can make it as big as you want, as long as you increase the number of pasim, so that the space between them is no more than either 13 and a third amot, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or 10 amot, according to Rabbi Meir. He's also the Chumrah there. So if you're telling me that that's a reason to say Va'od, then the Mishnah on Chav Bet Amud Aleph should have said Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda, because he had a chumrah in the first Mishnah, and now he's bringing in another chumrah over here. The fact that it's below Taniyot, despite the fact that he's bringing a chumrah in both cases and says it doesn't say Va'od, so then it's teaching you that the only reason to say Va'od is when they're topically related, not simply where it's a common denominator that he's the chumrah in both cases. So Gemara says, no. Over there, it's different than the case over here. Hakam afskakua rabbanan. Over there, in the case of the first Mishnah, until the Mishnah on Chav Bet Amud Aleph, the Rabbanan's position interceded. You had Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's maxed out at Beit Satayim for Pasei Biraot. Then you had the Chachamim coming along and saying to him, what are you talking about? Don't you agree that when it comes to a deer, a sohar, a chatzer, a mukseh, that they can go up to any amount because they're hukaf the dira? Why should Pasei Biraot be any different? So the position of the Chachamim came in between Rabbi Yehuda's first Chumrah and Rabbi Yehuda's Chumrah that's found on Chav Bet Amud Aleph with regards to the Derech Rabim ruining the Pasei Biraot. Over here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is the last one to speak in the previous Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Bet Amud Bet, and he's the first one to speak in the Mishnah here on Chav Gimel. So there's nothing that interrupts between them. So as long as there's no interruption, then Ba'od is relevant not only when there's something that's topically relevant, but even when they have a similar genre of statement like the Chumrah. And that's why over here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava is prefaced with Ba'od, but Rabbi Yehuda on the previous daf on Chav Bet Amud Aleph wasn't Ba'od, even though he was a Chumrah and had a similar genre of opinion, the Chumrah, but it was interrupted by other opinions in between. So Gemara says, well, is that really true? Ba'od heifa daf sukur rabbanan lok tani, Ba'od? Is that really true that the interceding of another opinion between the first and the second time it's mentioned, that's enough reason not to say Ba'od? Baha Rabbi Eliezer de Sukkah. What about Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnayot in Sukkah? Over there, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that you are chayav to have 14 su'udot ben Sukkot. The Chachamim say that there is no kitzvah, only on the first night is there a chiyuv suda. After that, if you want to eat, you have to eat in the sukkah. If you don't want to eat, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer is of the belief that you have to eat 14 su'udot, 2 su'udot each day in the sukkah. So that's the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer there. The Chachamim disagree and say, no, you don't. You only need to have one that is a chiyuv. The remainder are not chayav. And then it says later in the Mishnah, Ba'od Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer also says, Mishlo achal leil yom tov rishon, whoever didn't eat on the first night of Yom Tov, Yashlim leil yom tov acharon, can make up for it on the night of the last day of Yom Tov. So there you see Rabbi Eliezer has two opinions with regards to Si'uda, and even though the Chachamim's position is in between, they still use the word Va'od. So now you see again that it must be that Va'od is driven by topically similar or relevant items. Because there, the reason that Rabbi Eliezer it says Od is because both of his statements are about the Suda and the Sukkah. And therefore it uses Va'od. And that's the reason to combine them. And even when there's a hefsek of another opinion in between, we still say Va'od. So Va'od is all about topically relevant similar items. And then again, we're back to the square one here. What does Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava have to do with in the two Mishnahs that you say Va'od? Doesn't seem to have to do with V'chumra, because if it was a Chumra, Rabbi Yehuda should have been included in the same genre, and it should have said Va'od in Rabbi Yehuda's position. So Gemara said, well, that's because it was interrupted by the other opinions. Gemara says, well, you have in Mishnah and Sukkah where Rabbi Eliezer's opinions interrupted with other opinions, and it still says Va'od. So you see that that has no bearing. Where it says, no. The difference is, Hatam b'milte hu d'afsukua. Hatam b'milte achrite afsukua. In the Mishnah in Sukkah, even when the Rabbanan's opinion is placed in between the first time Rabbi Eliezer speaks and the second time he speaks, their response is directly to what he said. They're only addressing what he said. He said there are 14 sudot. They say in La Kitzvah that there is no mandatory number of sudot that you have to have on Sukkah. Then it goes back to speaking about Rabbi Eliezer on the topic of sudot. And therefore, it's not considered to be an interruption. On the other hand, in the first Mishnah of the Perek, after Rabbi Yehuda says that Pasei Biraot are capped out at Beit Satayim, the Chachamim challenge that position and then start speaking about other things that are hukaf the dira. They speak about a deer, a sohar, a muksa, and a chatzer, which are not topically relevant that which Rabbi Yehuda said. And therefore, that's considered to be a hefsek. And that hocham built achrita of sukua. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that either you have to have an uninterrupted statement of an individual, like in our case of here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and even though they're not topically related, if he has the same genre of statement, we will say ba'od, and that's because he's the chumra in both cases. Or you have to have something that's topically related that is not interrupted by any change in topic. Even if there's another opinion in between, we still will say Va'od. And that's like Rabbi Eliezer and Sukkah, where his opinion is all about Su'udot. He's interrupted by the Chachamim, but that doesn't matter because they're speaking about the exact same topic that he is. They're only addressing him. They're not going off topic at all. Therefore, it's relevant to say Ba'od over there. Rabbi Yehuda, in the beginning of our perek and on the previous daf, over there, yes, he was the same genre of statement, the Chumra, topically unrelated, but we didn't use Ba'od because there was a hefsek. There were other topics that were discussed in between, and that is enough of an interruption that we would not say Ba'od. And that explains why the Tana used Ba'od over here with regards to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. So now the Gemara moves on to Rabbi Akiva's position and says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilein ba'echad mikol elu mitaltalim b'tocha. Even if you have none of these items, not that which Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova suggests, not that which Rabbi Yehuda bar Yilai suggests, even if it's mukaf shalod dira, according to Rabbi Akiva, it is considered to be an area that you can carry in, as long as it does not exceed a beit satayim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva is identical with the Tanakama. Now, who the Tanakama is hard to figure out over here, because there was no Tanakama in the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah started Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova's position, and there was no position of a Tanakama who was unnamed in the Mishnah. The only time we had a Tanakama is all the way back at the first Mishnah of the Perek. And that's what Rashi suggests, that Rabbi Kiva's Hainu Tanakama is the Hachamim that argue on Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli in the first Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli says that you're capped out at Beit Satayim for Pasei Biraot. The Hachamim there, who the Gemara now is calling Tanakama according to Rashi, said that that is only true by a kapaf or a gina. Those are areas that were not hukaf l'dira. That's when you're capped out at a Beit Satayim. But if it's hukaf l'dira, you can go into any size you want. So you see from the Tanakama or the Chachamim there that argue in Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli that they agree with Rabbi Akiva's position over here, which is that if it's lo hukaf l'dira, you can go even up to a Beit Satayim without any problem and you can carry in it. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Rabbi Akiva is the same as the Chachamim who argue on Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli in the first Mishnah. My answer is itvedayu davar mu'at. The difference between them is how exact are we about the definition of the 5,000 amot that make up the Chatzer HaMishkan or a Beit Satayim. Again, we'll do this in 1 second, but the Chatzer HaMishkan is 100 by 50, which is 5,000 square amot. Now, if you square root that, you'll get the square area of a Beit Satayim. If you do that, you get an irrational number, which means that the decimal will go on forever. So you can never get the exact number, but it's roughly around 70.71 by 70.71. So the Chachamim didn't get to that exact number. They said that it's 70 2/3, which would be 70.67. And that gives you roughly or very close to what you're looking for in terms of the square area. The question is what that threshold is. When you have that area of a Beit Satayim, Rabbi Akiva over here in the Mishnah only says that it has to be Shivim Ama Vishirayim, Al Shivim Ama Vishirayim. That's all he says. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that's 70 2/3 by 70 2/3 is the maximum amount of space that you can have that's Mukaf Shalod Dira and still would be Mutai to carry in. On the other hand, the Tanakama or the Chachamim argued in Rabbi Yehuda Alai in the first Mishnah, all they said was Beit Satayim. They never defined what were the dimensions of the length and width of that area. And therefore what the Gemara suggests is that they are even adding on a mu'at on top of that. They're getting to the exact number of 70.71 versus 70.67 of Rabbi Akiva. And that's the difference between them. What is the threshold by which you can go up to that you'll still be considered to be hukaf shalod dira and be able to carry? According to Rabbi Akiva, the maximum is 70 2/3 by 70 2/3. Whereas according to the Chachamim or the Tanakama in the first Mishnah, it's Beit Satayim, which means whatever gets you to exactly 5,000 square amot, which would be roughly 70.71 by 70.71. Tosafot doesn't love Rashi's explanation here because there is a very easy way to differentiate between Rabbi Akiva over here and the Tanakama, quote unquote, from the first Mishnah. And that is Rabbi Akiva specifies that the area has to be 70 2/3 by 70 2/3 in order for it to be classified as a mukaf shalod dira that you can carry in. And that's because he requires it to be a square area. The Tanakama or the Chachamim that argued on Rabbi Yehuda in the first Mishnah, all they mentioned there was the total area, which is Beit Satayim. And so they never defined it that it has to be a square area. So you could have just answered the difference between Rabbi Akiva, who requires a square area, and the Tanakama is that the Tanakama doesn't require it to be a square area, he just requires that it be Beit Satayim. And therefore, Tosafot says that he does not think that that is the Tanakama that the Gemara is referring to. So he says, Mikom Mokom Nira Kepir Sherebenu Chananel. He says that he thinks the explanation of the Rabbeinu Chananel is a better explanation, which is that the Tanakhama here is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava also said that you have to have a square area. And therefore the Gemara is asking that we know that Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava with regards to whether it has to be Hukaf the Dira in order to reach a Beit Satayim, or whether when it's above a Beit Satayim, Hukaf the Dira helps. But who says that they argue about the square area? Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava himself says that it's Shivim Mishraim by Shivim Mishraim. And all Rabbi Akiva does is repeats the same thing, that it has to be Shivim Mishraim by Shivim Mishraim. So why did Rabbi Akiva have to repeat it if he didn't disagree with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? Because he is addressing or qualifying or arguing on that position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So whatever he doesn't argue on, we would assume he had the same opinion. The fact that he mentions it again, even though it was mentioned by Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, shows you that they must argue on this issue. And the Gemara's answer is that Rabbi Akiva only believes that the Beit Satayim is capped out at 70 and 2/3 by 70 and 2/3, whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says that it's exactly the square root of the 5,000 amot, which would be 70.71 by 70.71. Those would, at least in the Havamina, seems to indicate that, just like Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai in the first Mishnah says that it can be Arich V'Katin by the Pasei Biraot, he would have the same opinion with regards to the area of Beit Satayim, that is Hukaf L'Dira, and therefore he does not subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's and Rabbi Akiva's requirement that it be square area. Whereas the Rifa believes that if it's Hukaf L'Dira according to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, then it's similar to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's position because he doesn't argue on it, and therefore he has the same opinion that it has to be a squared out area. Titanio, because we have a bright Rabbi Yehuda Omer, over here this is Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, and that's why Tosafot in the end mentions that he thinks that anybody who came before Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah believes that you have to do this calculation exactly. Davar mu'at yesh al shivim ama bishirayim lo natnu chachamim bo shi'ur. There is something in excess of the 70 and 2/3 by 70 and 2/3 amot that you need to get to the exact calculation of 5,000 square amot. V'kama shi'ur sa'atayim. What is a beit sa'atayim? Is kechatzer mishkan. It's like the area of the chatzer mishkan, which was 50 by 100. Menahani milei. How do we know that that's the way that you calculate it? It says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Makra, the Pasuk says, Orech HaChatzer Me'a Be'ama, the length of the Chatzer Mishkan is 100 Amot, Berochav Chamishim Be'chamishim. So the problem is, what is the duplication of the Chamishim here? It just should say the width is 50 Amot. Why does it say the width is 50 Amot with 50 Amot? Amar Torah Tol Chamishim B'Saveiv Chamishim. The way that the Torah is telling you is to take the 50 and then circumscribe it around the other 50. So what is described here is the methodology for how they used to do math, including doing a square root over here, which Rashi spends a lot of time on. We'll explain it quickly as to what they did here. You have two areas that are 50 by 50 amot, because you have something that's long, 100 amot. You can split that into two 50s, and it's wide, 50 amot. So you have 50 by 50 and a 50 by 50. So if you take one of those squares, which is 50 by 50 amot, and then it says, take one that 50 amot, by chamishim, and put it around the other chamishim by chamishim. So if you take the area of 50 by 50 and you break it down into strips of 10 by 50 amot, then you will get 5 strips of 10 amot by 50, because you have an area that's 50 by 50. If you break it down into 5 strips, you'll have a strip that is 10 by 50, another strip that's 10 by 50, another strip that's 10 by 50, another one of 10 by 50, and then a fifth one that is 10 by 50. So what they say to do is take those first four strips that are 10 by 50, and put them on the perimeter of the other square that's 50 by 50. Each side of the square is 50 amot long. So if I can take a 50 amot long strip and add it on to each side of the square, then I will make the square bigger by an extra 10 amot on each side. Or I'll make it 70 by 70 because I'm adding 10 to the east, 10 to the west, 10 to the north, 10 to the south. Now I make it 70 by 70. That works well in terms of the sides. What about the corners? The corners are left empty. You now have corners that are 10 amot by 10 amot that are actually empty. So what we do is we take the fifth strip, that was a strip of 10 amot wide by 50 amot long, and I'll take out 4 10 by 10 amot squares from there. So I take out 4 10 by 10 amot squares, and I place those in each of the corners of the new square that I'm building that's circumscribed. So now I have a square that is perfectly 70 by 70 amot, and I've used up already from the second square that was 50 by 50, everything except the 10 by 10 amot that are left over. Question is, what do I do with that last 10 by 10 amot? I need to take it and have it have a strip around the square that I've created, that's 70 by 70 amot. So if I look at the perimeter of such a square, it is 280 amot, 70 on each side. So then I'm going to have to create a strip that is longer than 280 amot with some sort of thickness. And so what Rashi suggests over here is that amot break down into 6 tfachim. So if I have a 10 by 10 amot area, if I break it down into tfachim, I can break it down into 60 by 60 tfachim. So now if I take those 60 by 60 tfachim square area, and then I take the 60 tfachim and I divide it into 30 parts, those 30 parts will be each 2 tfachim wide. So now I have 30 strips that are 2 tfachim wide that are made up of an area that is 10 amot. If I take each of those strips and then lie them next to each other, I'll have 30 of those strips, each one 10 amot long and 2 tfachim wide. That will give me a strip that is 300 amot long by 2 tfachim wide. Now I just said to you that the perimeter around this square that we created is 70 by 70 square is 280 amot. So I'll take 280 of those 300 amot, and I'll wrap a string around the square that we have. So now I have an extra 2 tfachim on each side of the square. But once again, I did that on the edges of the square, but I left out the corners. Each one of those corners now has a 2 by 2 tfachim square that I need to fill in. So I'll go back to our strip that we have left over. We have left over now 20 amot of 2 tfachim wide. And I'm going to take from that 4 2 by 2 tfachim squares to fill in the corners. So each ama is 6 tfachim. So if I take out one of those squares by an ama by 2 tfachim, I will get then a 2 by 6 tfachim area. And then I can break that down into 3 2 by 2 tfachim areas, and I'll put those in the corners. Then I need one more 2 by 2 tfachim, so I'll take out another ama strip by 2 tfachim. And then I will take out a 2 by 2 tefach area, and that will leave over a 4 tfachim by 2 tfachim area, or in essence, 2/3 of an ama. And that means that I'll have left over 18 and 2/3 amot of length that are 2 tfachim thick. Meantime, I've created now a square that is 70 wide, 70 long, plus now I've added 2 tfachim to each side. So now I have 4 tfachim extra on each length and width. So now I have a square that is 70 and 4 tfachim by 70 and 4 tfachim. 4 tfachim is 2/3 of an amah, because there's 6 tfachim in an amah. 4 over 6 is 2/3. And that's how we get to 70 and 2/3 by 70 and 2/3. What's left over is that little strip that is 18 and 2/3 tfachim long by 2 tfachim wide. That strip you would have to then break down into a very small area and then try to put a string around it. And as Rashi points out here, even if you reduce it to etzba'ot, you still can't get enough to put around, and therefore we can't figure out or calculate what that mu'at is. And the differential is the difference between 70.67 and 70.71. So it's a very small fractional difference between them, and that's the mu'at that we're speaking about, but that's how we know from the pasuk that you have to square out the chatzer, because it says to take the chamishim b'chamishim, put the 50 inside the other 50. So the Gemara says about that, pashtei dekra b'maktiv. What's the simple reading of the pasuk? Which, as Tosafot points out, that means that whatever we did until now was just an asmachta. That's a hint in the pasuk to this din, but that's not the actual limud from the pasuk. There it is, Amar Abaye, I have made Mishkan al Sfat Chamishim, Kedei Shei Chamishim Amah Lefanav, Vesrim Amah Lechol Ruach. The Chamishim B'Chamishim comes to tell you to divide the Chatzer into two blocks of 50 by 50, and that's to tell you where to place the Mishkan. The Mishkan itself, the airspace or the halal of the Mishkan is 30 amot long by 10 amot wide. And so now it says to put the door of the Mishkan, which is the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim, inside the Chatzer to start it at the halfway point of the Chatzer. So if I started at the 50 amot line on the length of the chatzer, then it extends 30 amot back into the depth of the chatzer. So the front of the chatzer is an area that is 50 by 50 that is empty. In there will be placed the mizbeach and the choshet, the kior, and all the other items that are used in the avodah and kelim that are used in the avodah. They'll be in that area 50 by 50. The Mishkan sits starting at the 50 amot length line and then extends backwards. So it's 30 amot long. That means that there's another 20 amot left behind it that will reach until the wall of the chatzer. It is 10 amot wide. That means on either side of it, there's 20 amot left because it's 50 amot wide, the chatzer. 10 amot in the middle are taken up by the width of the Mishkan. So I have 20 amot left on the right and 20 amot left on the left. And that's what Rabbi says, that there are 20 amot surrounding the Mishkan on each side. And the Mishkan starts at the 50 amot line of the length of the Mishkan. Rashi just points out that the halal, the airspace of the Mishkan is 10 by 30, but the actual area that Mishkan takes up is really 31 by 12. And that's because the krashim are in Amah thick. And you have krashim on the northern and southern sides, the width of it, and therefore there's really 12 amot, and there's really only 19 amot and 19 amot left on each side. And in the back of the Mishkan, the front of the Mishkan doesn't have krashim, but the back has krashim, so it also takes up an Amah. That means there's only 19 amot left from the back of the Mishkan to the walls of the klayim, the nets of the chatzer. Nevertheless, the Gemara calls it 20 amot because it's saying from the halal Mishkan to the walls of the chatzer, that is 20 amot, including the amah width of the krashim. Now, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, imaita arka, this is what we noted in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Eliezer seems to be saying the same thing that Rabbi Akiva said, which is that you can't have the orech, the length, be any different than the width, or has to be squared out. Ba'atanya, we have a bright Rabbi Eliezer Omer, imaita arka, yeter al pi shnayim birochba, if its length is twice the size, or above twice the size of its width, afilu amah achat, even by one amah, ein metaltalim b'tocha, then you can't utilize that area as a Beit Sataim. Amar Rabbi Bar Abaye, kitnanami matnitin. We're going to amend the Mishnah to say the same thing as the Braita. When he says yeter, means yeter al pi shnayim berochba. Tnan. Doesn't mean a length is greater than the width. It means that the length is two times the size of the width. So Gemara says, yihochi. So before, if Rabbi Eliezer looked exactly like Rabbi Kiva, now that we've amended him, he looks exactly, hainu, like Rabbi Yossi. It looks like Rabbi Yossi, who also said that there's a cap of two times the length to the width, in order for it to be classified as a Beit Sataim, that is Hukaf Shalol the Dira. Because Hukaf Shalol the Dira, according to Rabbi Akiva, is allowed to be used. And here we have Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi coming along and saying that not like Rabbi Akiva, that has to be squared out, but it can be even rectangular in shape. But that rectangular is capped at a level of the Chatzer Mishkan, which means that the length can't be more than two times the width. Igabenai ribua de ribua rabbanon. The difference between them is the squaring that the rabbanon did. According to Rashi, there is no halachic difference between them. It's just a question as to what is the primary or the chatchila way that we want you to set up a Beit Sa'atayim. And what Rashi suggests over here is that Rabbi Eliezer believes that the ikar is that its length should be two times the width, or in essence, it should mimic the chatzer mishkan. So you come and ask us, if you want to make a Beit Sa'atayim, shehukav shelo didira, what's the best way to do that? That's to do it in a rectangular shape that mimics the mishkan, which is that the length should be twice as long as the width. If you do less than that, and it comes all the way down to a square, that will still be mutar, and you will be allowed to carry in it. Just if you're asking us what is the primary way to do it, and what is the sumpar way to do it, the best way is to do it as a rectangle, then you can, bidyabad, you can reduce that all the way till you reach a square. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi believes just the opposite, that the primary way to do it is like the ribua of the Rabbana. The primary way to do the Beit Sataim is to do it as a square. If you do it not as a square, and you extend it into a rectangle, you can do that bidyabad all the way up to where the length is two times the size of the width. So in essence, they have the same halachic outcome, just a question of the chatchila and bidyabad. Where's the starting point? And what is bidyabad still considered to be Beit Sataim? Tosfot, once again here, does not like Rashi's explanation, because he says, I don't understand what the meaning of chatchila and bidyabad is when you're not dealing with a mitzvah, or some sort of thing that you need to be yotzei with. All you're talking about here is what's the definition of a reshut. And how do you speak about the chatchila and bidyavad? Rashi himself notes that this is speaking about someone who's coming to ask us how to make a beit dira, and therefore it is the chatchila, how you're creating a reshut, and therefore terms it as the chatchila or bidyavad. But Tosafot does not think that that's the proper explanation, and once again he favors the explanation of the Beinu Chananel, that the difference between the position of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer is reflective of another machloket that we have later on in the Masechta, which is a machlok between Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus and the Chachamim with regards to Erev Tchumin. We know that once you exit the city or the perimeter of the city, you get 2,000 amot. How do you calculate those 2,000 amot from the center point of wherever you are? According to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, you take a radius of 2,000 amot, and then you basically make a circle of a radius of 2,000 amot, and that's the area of your Tchum. Your tchum is determined by 2,000 amot from wherever you're located in a radius form so that it creates a circle, and that's the shape of your tchum. The Chachamim say, yes, you do that, but after you've created the circle, you then circumscribe it with a square. You put a square around the circle, and you square out the area of the circle because you get the benefit of what they call the corners in having the tchum. Ben Ochanan suggests that's the same machloket over here with regards to when the length is two times the width. How is that defined? Is that defined by the actual length and width of the item, meaning that the squared out area, the length can be two times that of the width, even though there will be points along the way where one corner to the diagonal corner on the other side will be more than two times the width. Nevertheless, since the length is maxed out at two times the width, that'll be fine. And basically you can create a rectangle whereby, according to Rabbi Yossi, the length is two times the size of the width. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says that, like Rabbi Chanina ben Antulinus, no line in this rectangle can be more than two times the width. And therefore, you have to then measure from any point along the width of this item. It has to be that that line reaches the other side of the diagonal when it's not more than two times the width of this item. And then it'll turn out to be that there will be a circular edge to the width of this rectangle in order to prevent any of the quote-unquote hypotenuses from being greater than two times the width of the item. So you'll take the same rectangle that Rabbi Yossi says is fine, and then you will take a line two times the size of the width of that rectangle and then pin it in the middle, centered in the middle, and then you'll swing it back and forth, and that basically creates circular width top and bottom to this rectangle that you create. And that will be the distinction between them according to the Rabbeinu Hananel. So now, before we move on to what the Gemara is going to say with regards to the halacha over here, let's quickly review all of the opinions that we have seen until now. With regards to the shape of the area, whether it has to be a square or can even be a rectangle, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and according to Rabbi Akiva, it's clear that the area has to be square. That is, both for an area that's hukaf, shalo d'dira, which according to Rabbi Akiva works, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava doesn't work. Or even for an area that's hukaf the dira, according to both of them, it has to be a squared out area. According to Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eli, we already noted there's a machloket between the Tosafot and the Ritva as to whether he believes that it has to be squared out like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, or he believes that it can be arech v'katin, it can be rectangular in shape. And according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi, we just saw that they believe that it can be from a square all the way to a rectangle, that the length of the rectangle is up to two times the width of the rectangle. And then we had the final opinion, which is that opinion of Rabbi Eli in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, who, according to many of the Rishonim, suggests that the rectangle could be even bigger than two times. And we're going to find a similar opinion further on in the Gemara and Daf Chav Vav and Aleph in Hananya's position. And they both believe that you can have even a rectangle that is length that is more than two times the width. So those are all the opinions with regards to the shape of that which we're speaking over here. Now, with regards to Hukaf the Dira, we have a number of pages. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, if it is an area that's greater than a Beit Satayim, according to Rashi, even if it's Hukaf the Dira, nothing helps over a Beit Satayim. According to Balei Tosafot, if it's a real Dira, then it can even go over a Beit Satayim. If it's a Beit Satayim or less, everybody agrees that you need some form of Dira in there, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. If it is not Hukaf the Dira, then according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, you can't carry in there no matter what size it is. Now, Rabbi Yehuda bar Eli agrees with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The only thing he does is he lowers the threshold for what's considered to be Mukaf the Dira, and he says that you can use a Bor Shiach Umeara instead of a Shomeira Beit Dira or Smucha Leir in order for it to be considered Hukaf the Dira. But otherwise, he has the same opinion as Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Then we had the Chachamim at the beginning of the Perek and Rabbi Akiva, who both believe that Ad Beit Satayim, you can have a Hukaf even Shalo the Dira, and it's Mutar to carry around. If it is Hukaf the Dira, then you can go up to any size that you want. And that's the view of both the Chachamim, who argue on Rabbi Yehuda in the first Mishnah, and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. And we'll see in a second that that is the Halacha. And then we had Rabbi Eli, B'shem Rabbi Eliezer, at the end of the Mishnah, who said that even when it's Hukaf Shalo the Dira, it can even be more than a Beit Satayim. And we have a similar opinion of what you mentioned before, Hananya on Daf Chavav. The only difference between them is, what is the largest size can it be? If it is Mutar until Arbaim Sa'a, or only on Beit Kor? Because our Mishnah, Rabbi Eli mentions a cap of a Beit Kor, whereas Hananya seems to be able to go all the way up to Arbaim Beit Sa'a. So that's a summary of all the opinions we've seen until now. And now the Gemara dictates what the halacha is. Itmar, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that it can be a rectangle. Rabbi, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said it could be a square. So then how do you reconcile that? V'tarvayu l'kula. We pass like both of them in the side of their opinion that is the kula. V'tzricha, and we need both of their opinions here, because di yashminen halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Had you just taught me the halachas like Rabbi Yossi, Avamina Adika Shomeira or Beit Dira. We don't know what Rabbi Yossi believes in terms of Hukaf Lidira. He might hold like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, The only thing that Rabbi Yossi tells us is that you can have it be rectangular in shape and it'd still be okay as long as the length doesn't exceed the width by two times. So Kamash Malan, that the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, who says that it does not have to be hukaf lidira. Mishmina halacha Rabbi Kiva. If you told me halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, who says that it does not need to be hukaf lidira, havamina darach v'katin lo. Rabbi Kiva says it has to be a square, and you would think that a rectangular would not be allowed. Kamash Malan halacha ki Rabbi Yossi, and that teaches us the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So what it turns out to be is that the halacha is that it can be rectangular as long as the length doesn't exceed the width by two times. Number two is if it's hukaf shelo lidira, up to a beit satayim is fine, above a beit satayim is no good. Unless it is hukaf the diran, then you can go up to any size. That's the halacha like Rabbi Akiva, that it doesn't need diurim under Beit Satayim. Above Beit Satayim it needs dira. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that it can be even a rectangle and not just be a square. So now the Gemara continues. Karpaf, shu yoter mi Beit Satayim. If you have a karpaf that is more than Beit Satayim, shu kaf le dira. But it is now encircled or fenced in with a dira. So that should be fine according to the way we just paskin. That's an area that you can carry in because it's hukaf the dira. Even though it's mortar bebeit satayim, that's fine. But then you go ahead and be nizra rubo. You then plant in the majority of the area some vegetation or some sort of grain. Harihu kigina. That converts that area into a gina, and it's asur. As Rashi explains over here, that when you plant zironim, people don't live amongst the vegetation. People don't live amongst the grains. That's not something that you plant and then continue to live in that area. That makes it ois dira when you plant those areas. So when it comes up to be the majority of the area is already now planted, then it becomes asur. Nata rubo, if you plant trees, even in the majority of the area of this karpaf, haru kechatser umutar. It remains a chatzer and it is mutar. And that is because people do plant trees in their chatzerot. People do have trees around their houses for shade and they do walk around. So it remains an area that's hukaf the dira, even though you planted an orchard in that area. And therefore it remains mutar because it's hukaf the dira. Now we explain. Nizra rubo, when the majority of that area is planted, that's only true where the area that was planted exceeds a beit satayim. Aval beit satayim mutar. But if the area that was planted, even if it's the majority, as long as it did not exceed a beit satayim, then it is mutar. And Gemara says, come on, who's that like? Ke Rabbi Shimon. That is like Rabbi Shimon the Tanan, because we have a Mishnah that we're going to see later on. The Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echad Gagot, Echad Chatzerot, Echad Karpifot, Rishut Achat Hein Lekelin Shishavtu Bitochan. When it comes to these different areas that are all Rishuyot HaYachid, then according to Rabbi Shimon, they all share a common theme or commonness of Rishut HaYachid to them. They're not considered to be differentiated areas. And therefore, if you have kelim that were shuvet in those areas, you can move from one to the next without it being a problem of carrying in Rishut HaYachid, because they're all Rishuyot HaYachid. Those are the roofs of the houses, the courtyards in front of the houses, and the karpifot, which are areas that are less than beit satayim, that are surrounded shelo the dira, all of those are reshut achat. They're all considered one reshut for any kelim that were in them coming into Shabbat. V'lo le kelim sheshavtu betoch habayit. But that's not true. If the kelim were in the house coming into Shabbat, then that is a separate reshut yachid. A house is differentiated. That's an area that's real dira, as opposed to these areas which are additions or addendums to living space, and therefore they have the same genre of Rishut HaYachid, as opposed to a bayit, which is a primary location, that's differentiated. And therefore you can't carry the kelim that were in the house to the chatzer, and then from the chatzer to the gag or to the karpaf. You could carry them from the bayit to the chatzer if you have an eruv chatzerot, but then you can't move them from the chatzer to other areas. As opposed to, if they started out in the chatzer, you can move them from the chatzer to the gag to the karpaf without any problem. Rashi over here claims that this restriction applies even to a single individual. If he has his kelim in his house, then he takes them out to the chatzer. After that, he can't move them from the chatzer to a gag or to a karpaf. All the other Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say that that's only true when it's two different people's area. If it's the same person's ownership, then even if he moves from his house into the chatzer, he can then move the keli from the chatzer to a karpaf, to a gag, without any problem. It's only when there's two different people that own the areas that you can't move it once it came out of the house to the chatzer, that you can't move it then from the chatzer to someone else's karpaf or to someone else's gag, and that's the restriction over here. Now the explanation of what we're saying is that You have now an area that is larger than a Beit Zadayim, and it was hukaf l'dira, which is totally fine, and you should be able to carry in it. Then you went ahead and planted a section of it. That planting of the section of it now nullifies at least a portion of it from being an area of dira, because it's now full of vegetation or full of grains, and it's not an area that people live in. So now that area becomes a karpaf. As long as the karpaf does not exceed a Beit Zadayim, that's where Rabbi Huna Great Rabbi Yeshua tells us, then it remains an area that is mutar to carry in it. Because if you surround a gina or a karpaf, which is not the dira, for less than Beit Zadayim, then that's fine. That's what we just paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that that's considered an area that you can carry around. So that area is mutar to carry around in. And the other area, which you did not plant, remains a chatzer to the dira, and therefore it's mutar to carry there as well. Now, there are two different entities. One is a chatzer, and one is a korpaf. But we just said that we hold like Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says a chatzer and a karpaf are the same type of reshut. And therefore, since even though they're both open now, one side of them is completely broken open from a chatzer into a karpaf, from a karpaf into a chatzer, since they are both mutarim, you can carry in each of them and you can carry between them like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. If you get above a Beit Zadayim, then you have a problem because then it's no longer permissible to carry in the karpaf. The area that you planted now is greater than Beit Zadayim shelo the dira. That's asur. That becomes a karmelit. A karmelit is an area that is asur to carry in. Now you have a chatzer for the remainder of the area, which is the chatzer of the dira, that has one wall, or one side of it, that's completely broken open into a karmelit, that's asur to carry in from it to the karmelit, or karmelit to it, and therefore it makes the chatzer asur as well, and everything becomes asur. And that's what the Braita said. If it was rubo, and the rove, according to Rabbi Huna, Braita Rabbi Yeshua, was greater than Beit Zadayim, then the whole thing is asur. If it is a Beit Zadayim or less, then it is mutar, because both areas remain independently mutar, and it's lefi shita Rabbi Shimon, where a karpaf and a chatzer are not considered to be differentiated rishuyot. The Gemara challenges that and says, wait a minute, the Rabbi Shimon Nami came into Nizra Rubo, since the majority of the area was planted, even though it's a Beit Zadayim or lower, Rubo Havi, how miuta botule legabei ruba. The miut of chatzer that's left should be overridden by the rove, which is the area of the karpaf. Tosafot says that it's really a kol shekein, because the tzad heter that the Gemara proposed over here was based on the fact that if you planted a miut, then Braita said, then it wouldn't be a problem. So only if you planted a miut greater than Beit Zadayim, the whole thing would remain mutar, and that's because the chatzer, which is the rove, overrides the minority, or is mevatel the minority, which is a karpaf. So now, let's look at it vice versa. When you plant the majority of it, even if it's less than a Beit Zadayim and it's still mutar to carry around in it, that majority should stand be annul or nullify the remaining minority, that is the chatzer, and make it all into a karpaf. Well, if it makes it all into a karpaf or a gina, you have an area now that is greater than Beit Zadayim, and it's a sword to carry around. And so the Gemara says, I don't understand the way that you've defined this, because even according to Rabbi Shimon here, the whole area would be asur to carry around, because if you have a karpaf, you'll tear me Beit Zadayim, asur, and be asur to carry around. Ela itmar, hachi itmar. The Braita qualified in the following way. Ha miuta shori. As long as the planting remains in miut, it'll be okay. And then, Amar Rav Huna, Braita Rav Yeshua, lo amran and lo havi Beit Zadayim. That's only true if the miut does not exceed a Beit Zadayim. About Beit Zadayim, if it reaches the level of a Beit Zadayim, it becomes asur. Kiman, who's that like? Kirabonon. The Rabbanon then argue on Rabbi Shimon. So let's explain this. The area is more than Beit Zadayim that was hukaf the dira. It's all mutar to carry around it. Then you planted a portion of the area that's less than the majority, a minority of the area. So that minority of the area does not affect the fact that you have an area that's hukaf the dira, because it's batel to the majority of the area, which is a chatzer, an area that's hukaf the dira. And therefore the area you planted, which is a karpaf, is annulled or batel to it, and the whole area is mutar to carry around in it. But if that karpaf area that you planted becomes big enough, even if it's the minority of the entire area, if it's big enough where in and of itself it has significance, which is the threshold of Beit Zadayim, because Beit Zadayim is the maximum size of a karpaf, shalukaf the dira, and once it reaches that level, it already reaches a level of significance. Below the level of Beit Zadayim, it's just batel to the rove. But once it reaches the threshold of Beit Zadayim, then it creates a problem for you because it is now significant in itself. Even though it's significant, it still remains mutar, because a Beit Zadayim that is a karpaf, shalukaf the dira, is mutar to carry around in it. The problem you have here is that that's now adjacent to the remaining area here, which is a chatzer. So you now have a chatzer that is adjacent to a karpaf. The karpaf by itself is mutar to carry around in, And so is the chatzer by itself mutar to carry around it. Because the chatzer is hukaf l'dira and mutar to carry around even if it was greater than Beit Satayim. The karpaf did not exceed Beit Satayim. It is a Beit Satayim. And therefore it is a karpaf shukaf shelo l'dira, which is mutar to carry around with it. The only problem is, according to the chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, a karpaf and a chatzer are different areas. Different rishiyot ayachid, and you're not allowed to carry from one to the other. That means you have an area that's a sur to you, where your wall is now opened up into it. The chatzer has one side of it that's facing our karpaf, that's a sur to carry into. And vice versa, the karpaf has one wall, where a chatzer, where you can't carry from the chatzer into the karpaf, or the karpaf into the chatzer. So you have two areas that are a sur to each other, even though each one independently is mutar, and therefore they're oser each other. So now you have four different thresholds over here according to this. If the area is planted rubo, if majority is planted, then it is asur the entirety to carry around because the majority governs over here, and you now have karpaf, shelo kaf the dira, that's greater than Beit Satayim, and therefore it's asur. If you have an area that is planted that's the miyut, and less than a Beit Satayim, it is insignificant, and is batel to the remainder of the chatzer, and therefore it remains an area that's hukaf the dira, and the whole area is mutai to carry around. There is one threshold point, which is the Beit Satayim. If the area that's planted is the minority, but it reaches the threshold of Beit Satayim, at that point already, it becomes an area that is significant. Even though it's mutai to carry around in it, it is significant. Since it is significant, it now becomes a big karpaf shlukaf the dira, mutar, and a chatzer next to it, that's also mutar. Each one is independently mutar, but between them is not mutar, and therefore they make each other asurim. That's the way to read this Rabbi Ahuna, Rabbi Reb Shua's qualification of the threshold of a Beit Satayim. Again, if it goes over a Beit Satayim, that's an area that's hukaf, shelo l'dira, that's greater than Beit Satayim, is asur, and therefore you have a Carmelite, and if you have a Carmelite there, even if it's a minority of the area, it will cause a problem for the remainder of the area that's hukaf l'dira, because you have an area that's asur, where partza kula, the entire chaser is open into that area, and the whole thing would be asur. So those are the four different permutations of what you could have here. You could either have it be that it is a minority and less than Beit Satayim, then it's mutar to carry around the whole area. It could be a minority and greater than Beit Satayim, and the whole area will be asur to carry in. It could be a majority of the area that's planted, and there the whole area will be asur. Or it could be the fourth possibility, which is one that Rabbi Shua is talking about, is where a planted area is exactly a Beit Satayim, even though it's a minority of the total area encompassed by the dira. Nevertheless, that will cause a problem, according to Chachamim, because you have two areas that are mutar to carry in, each independently, but between them is asur. And then we have a now third version of this, which is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Difni Matni Lekula. He has the same explanation that we just gave in Rabbi Huna B'Rabbi Shua, but he does it Lekula. Hamiuta Shari. Like we said in the Braita, if it's the majority, it's asur. If it's the miut, it's mutar. That's only if it reaches a Beit Satayim, then it's still mutar. But yotermi Beit Satayim, asur. If it's over a Beit Satayim, it's asur. Come on, like Rabbi Shimon. So all he does is we have the same four cases that we had before. Just one of those four cases, the din changes. In the case where it's a minority and is less than Beit Satayim, then it's batel, and you can carry in the whole area. If the area that is planted is the majority of the area that is encompassed, it then becomes majority and nulls the chatzer, and the whole area becomes hukaf shelo l'dira, and it's greater than a Beit Satayim, and it is asur to carry anywhere. Those cases remain the same. In addition, the case where it is a minority and it's greater than a Beit Satayim, then it's also asur, because if it's greater than a Beit Satayim, you have one area that is hukaf shelo l'dira, a korpaf that is more than Beit Satayim is asur, and you have a chatzer that is mutar. The chatzer is open into the area that is a Carmelite that's asur and remains asur. The one case that's difference between them is when it's exactly a Beit Satayim, the area that you planted. It's a minority of the area, but it equals exactly a Beit Satayim. In that case, you have a karpaf that's a Beit Satayim, which is mutar to carry in of itself. And you have a chatzer, which is hukaf l'dira, which is mutar to carry around in it. According to the first way we read it, that was the sheet of the chachamim, and everything becomes asur, because each one's independently mutar, but between them you can't carry, and that means you have an area adjacent where you're open to that is asur, and they both become asurim. Whereas, according to Rabbi Shimon, a karpaf and a chatzer have the same din of rishuyot, a yachid, and you can move between them freely. Therefore, if you have a karpaf, shlukaf the dira, that's Beit Satayim, that's mutar. You have a chatzer, that is hukaf the dira, that's mutar as well. Two areas that are mutar next to each other, you can carry from one to the other, and they both remain mutar. Again, that's only in a case where it is at Beit Satayim that is planted, and it remains the minority of the total area that's encompassed or hukaf the dira. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Chav Dalet, Amud Aleph.